What's that bear doing?
He's walking around.
He's probably going south to mate with birds. Bears are crazy, Willie. They'll bite your head if you're wearing steak on it.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 111, featuring Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with a special appearance by Irene Pinehop.
Yes, hi. Hello.
Hello.
I have a few things I would like to mention before we... Yes, before we get into the show proper. First of all, we're still toying around with the format. I can't leave well enough alone. The format of the show is like a scab, and I got to keep picking it until fresh new ideas ooze out.
Oh, so, that's a wonderful metaphor, what you got going there.
Listen, we've compared the show to urinating in the past, so I feel the precedent has been set.
Yeah, but that at least is a relief. There's nothing reliefing about pus.
There's nothing reliefing about anything. Reliefing's not actually a word.
Reliefing is the best word, okay? And you know it's the best word because I invented it.
That's exactly why I know it's not.
That's why I'm a professional wordsmith.
Are you?
I'm forging new words out of old words.
You get paid for it, though?
No, I do it in my spare time.
Yeah, and see, you're not a professional then, you're an amateur.
I'm not an amateur.
That's the definition of amateur. It has nothing to do with skill level. It has to do with if you're getting paid or if you're doing it on your own time.
I'm a hobbyist.
Well, all right then.
Forging fresh words in my basement.
Are you really? Do you have like a word forge?
Yeah. Well, often you have to tape them together.
Really? I would think hot glue would be perfectly effective.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We never hot glue anything anymore.
We were always, like back in the early days, like back in the felt times, we were just hot gluing everything to everything.
All the time was hot gluing time.
And then we ran out and you didn't bother to go get more. You're right next door to the glue factory, the hot glue factory, and you didn't even bother.
I told you, the hot glue factory burned down.
Oh, well, there was that mob of horses.
Yeah, they got attacked by horses. They were protesting it.
For some reason, those guys are really anti-glue. I don't know why, but they really don't like glue for some reason. Of course, they had torches glued to their foreheads.
It's tragic, really. A sea of flaming unicorns charging into the hot glue factory.
Yeah, and you're right next door, and you escaped unscathed. Huh? That's pretty impressive.
I mean, we should have seen this coming. Horses are assholes.
Yeah, we had Ed Casey on a few weeks ago, and he did point this out. I was blissfully unaware of this. This never even occurred to me. But now that I think of it, it's like, oh yeah, you guys opened my eyes. You guys like handed me the They Live glasses, and now I see horses for what they truly are.
After 20 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah, you guys were fighting with me in the alley for a considerable length of time, but then now I see. I put on the glasses, and I see.
And then we hot glued them on.
Horses are dicks. I want to use glue all the time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Man. They're just, I mean, and okay, you have a soft spot for, who is it, Thorse?
Look, America loves Thorse, okay?
The Thor horse.
People demanded that their God of Thunder be more horse-like, and Marvel gave them what they asked for.
And from space.
Yeah, Thor's pretty good, but you know what would make him better? Oh, what's that? Well, first of all, if he could come from space, okay, I follow you. Thor from space, fine.
Could we make him a little more horse-like?
A little horsier.
Yeah, what? Just horse him up about 20%.
There's not enough horse in this, Thor.
No, and when you were talking about Thorse recently.
Yes, as I am wont to do.
Yes, whose official name is what exactly? I don't want to get his stupid
Beta
name.
Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill. I did a Google
How
search.
How could people not love him?
He's so lovable. I mean, look at him. But I did a Google search for Thorse. Mm-hmm. And boy. You guys just, I don't know, this being a fake radio show, I'm not sure I could do it justice by describing it on microphone here. I think you might just have to see it for yourself.
Yes. No one can be truly told what Thorse is.
No, because there were a few different results, and I'll put these in the show notes.
Yes.
There's one where just a normal-sized, giant brown horse is dressed up as Thor. They put a red blanket over him and the helmet and a hammer in his teeth. And there's also a My Little Pony dressed up as Thor. Thor's fever is running wild, I guess.
Look,
I
the world has spoken, and what they want is a combination of the Norse god of thunder and a horse. The horse god of thunder. God damn it.
You just got that, huh?
Uh-huh.
The thing is, at first what you said was America has spoken. America has not spoken because America hasn't seen Thor yet. The rest of the country has gotten the Thor movie.
Yeah, the rest of the country, or the rest,
or, excuse
of, the
me, the rest of the world, I'm
Thor
sorry.
Fever.
Yeah, and we're hearing from all our Twitter friends from around the world. Handsome Dan from Down Under in Australia has seen it. Pablo in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if he's seen it yet, but he's talked about being able to see it.
Yeah.
Same with Juan, the guy who does our Spanish lessons. He's from Panama. He gets to see it. Everyone gets to see it but us.
I'm actually not entirely shocked. I mean, if I was in Norway and didn't get to see Thor before everyone else did, I'd be kind of pissed.
That is a good point. You think the horses are any more or less evil in Norway?
I think Norway is the epicenter of the horse empire, the secret horse empire that has been ruling us for 10,000 years.
Really? Did you just think of that, or is this some
elaborate
theory?
Oh, no, this is a real thing. This is at least as valid as the Jew bankers that control the world, apparently.
Oh, well, since that's completely valid, I buy into your theory.
No, what people don't know is it's actually 13 horse bankers.
Not 12, huh? It's usually like a nice round number. 13.
No, it's a baker's dozen of horses that rule the world from a secret bunker under Australia.
And they inflict their insidious agenda by ensuring that the bakers can't count.
Yes.
Oh, it's a dozen. What? Look at it. It's a dozen. It's 13,
well, no,
you
that's
idiot.
The thing. The horses do the counting for them.
Ooh. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to do that 13 times. You guys get the idea.
Just loop that a few more times.
It hurts my fingers to do that.
Please let me stop. No, we need to embrace our horse overlords.
So the so this whole the I mean, like I say, you guys just to continue the they live metaphor, you just put the glasses on me.
Yep.
And I'm just now seeing that we're surrounded by all this conspiracy, this sinister horse stuff.
By evil,
this is all new to me.
Horses, yes.
Yes. So educate me, Matt. I am new to this. This is all strange and terrifying to me. What do I need to know?
Look, the average horse is the devil, okay?
Each one is the devil.
All horses are the singular devil, okay?
So it's like bees, where a collective of horses forms one devil?
It's a hive of horses run by a queen horse.
Uh-huh.
Who's like the size of a house and lays horse eggs.
The size of a horse mother. I got you.
No, oddly enough, it's the size of an average barn.
Oh, very strange. Can you hit the broad side of a horse mother with hot glue?
Well, you can if you get past its army of soldier horses.
Well, yeah. So
each
our horses,
of which is covered in thick barbs.
And bees, for some reason. They're big Eddie Izzard fans.
Covered
in bees. So are horses the most evil animals, then, or are there others?
Well, you know, after the evilness of the horse, then you got the goose, which is nature's most evil avian animal.
Okay, I can well, I guess evil flighted bird, I'll give you that. Like emus and ostriches.
Oh, fuck,
those things,
no, that's true. Emus,
those things
emus
are crazy
and ostriches
monsters.
Are fucking...
Yes, these are emu. You are not tripping out.
I like in Dude, Where's My Car? That they refer to those things as llamas. And it seems like a totally random, like, why would they do that? But somewhere in my head, it's like, yeah, I have thought of those as llamas for some reason. I don't know why, but that sounds right.
I think it's because people in, like, the suburbs keep both llamas and emu, and I don't know why.
Well, I mean, there are various, you know, like, hippie folk remedies that are made from, like, I was about to say emu milk, because birds, as we know, give milk.
Of course.
And llama eggs.
Llama, the bones of the llama.
Yes. No. You gotta use the whole animal like the Indians. No, but okay. So,
what are we
going
to use these llama testicles for?
I don't know, but we swore we can't lie to the white man.
Oh, jeez, don't cry about it.
We gotta use something. But no, I follow you on the geese thing because llamas are llamas.
Bad llama.
Emu and ostriches are like I can see. Where birds are related to dinosaurs through them. Like, they're monsters. They're just horrible. And geese seem to carry some of that monster gene, but they can also fly.
Oh, yeah, a goose is like a velociraptor. You know, it's not the one you see that's the problem. It's the two you don't see.
Right.
Then they jump out and bite you.
They can open doors. I mean... All the time, we're like, what bird would be an idiot enough to... And then the door opens and they go, honk! They're like the Lenny and Squiggy of the animal kingdom.
What kind of bird would be stupid enough to hello?
honk.
Ugh.
And that's the thing, is that noise they make. Like, you know, I mentioned in a previous episode, there's like a little nature trail by my house that I walk slash run down from time to time. And there's a nice little pond there, and there's ducks, and ducks make a nice little quack, quack, quack. You know, but then the geese is like, honk! Like, Jesus, fuck!
Yeah, see, if you cannot tell me that geese aren't at least insane.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
That is not what a sensible animal sounds like.
No.
I mean, you got your see and say, and you got your various, you know, you point at things and pull the string, and they say things, and then you know, any sensible child who gets to the goose will run away screaming.
Yeah, exactly. Because the goose goes, ah!
Yeah. Jesus. So really, the combination of a goose and a horse would be like a centaur would be like the most evil.
Oh God!
Imaginable.
Can you imagine?
I actually checked with I don't want to say friend of the show because I don't think he's ever heard the show. Someone we know who makes comics, Benito Cirino,
yes.
Who makes the new Tick series. He's very well versed in old languages and in mythology. And I asked him what a cross between a goose and a horse would be, like a centaur type creature. And he assures me it would be called a hippochen.
Hmm.
And that according to what you've told me, would be the most evil animal imaginable.
That actually sounds pretty goddamn horrifying. I tell you what you do then. You take the goose centaur, and then, as is done with all monsters from mythology who are basically made up of a bunch of animals stuck in a blender, you stick a scorpion tail on the back of that. Now you're terrified.
That's, No. See, you're losing something with me there.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is scary, but it's like scary in the way that tries too hard.
Hmm, you might be right.
That's scary in the way that Saw is not scary.
Okay,
you need a little subtlety there.
Okay. We'll take off the scorpion tail. We'll replace that with the head of a goat.
Uh-huh.
And then you take scorpion claws and put those on the front.
No, now that's just a mess. I don't even know what that is. Plus, you know, Benito, if I went back to him with that, he would he'd probably have a seizure.
Just throw you out.
Too many Greek words there to throw together. Plus, I don't think goats are evil.
Oh, goats aren't evil. They're just scary.
They're a little scary. But you guys with your roof goats. I mean, that's a whole thing in Canada.
Oh yeah.
The roof goat.
Look, no one put those goats up there. They found their way up on that roof by themselves.
Nobody ever sees the goats getting a ladder. They're just up there.
Yeah. People went outside one day and the roof was covered in goats. How did they get up there? No one knows.
And then the next day they're gone. And it's not like they're climbing because it's like a, you know, two or three story building, like a house or something. They're just up there. So clearly they're getting a ladder or stairs or, you know, maybe they got a stair car like the Blue family. I don't know.
No, and the worst part is that some days they're not up there. And then you have to ask yourself, where'd they go? What are those goats doing? And if you watch the house, they won't come or go or anything.
It's like a quantum thing. It's like watching affects it or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And watching it means it won't happen in this case.
You'll watch and you'll watch and you'll watch and then you'll blink just for a second. And when you look back, the roof will be lousy with goats.
Yep. It's just I don't know how you guys live not in perpetual fear.
Oh, look, we live in perpetual fear of goats, but you have to work past the fear if you want to get anything done.
Yeah, that's true. They do eat everything also. I mean, this is hardly an original observation, but that aspect of goats, sometimes people think it's cute, but it's also a little scary.
There's nothing cute about a living thing that will just eat a tin can.
No, when you're a kid and you hear that, it's like, oh, that's cute. It's like, he'll just eat whatever you give him. But now when you're an adult and you can really process that.
Okay, I want you to picture like a tin can, you know, that's been cut in half so it's fucking like razor sharp.
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, I used to do that back in my Cutco days. I used to cut cans in half, so I'm fully aware.
Now, picture an animal that has the wherewithal to devour that and then successfully pass it.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
But I'll give you this. I agree with every bit of that. But the goat does not have any kind of malice. There's no malicious intent there. It can do that, but it has no desire to actually be sinister or evil.
No.
That's why humanity's still here.
That's why humanity tolerates the goat.
Yeah, because you know it's basically essentially a disposal system.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out in the wilderness and all you got is a goat, you can keep it alive for a while by feeding it your trash, and then eventually you can eat it.
I don't know, man. Like The goat is fine until you turn on it, but then you're fighting for your life.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
That goat will fucking end you.
Maybe you should keep it alive and just use its natural tendencies to seek roofs, and then you would be out of the woods. Because if it finds a roof, it's found a house, and then you're no longer stranded in the wilderness, and you're safe.
See, you'd think that, but then you're following your goat, you look away for a second, and suddenly it's just standing on a roof that's not attached to anything.
I think the show needs to produce a self-help book called Follow Your Goat.
What color is your goat's parachute?
All right, so like I said, we are experimenting a bit with the format. And as such, we will be taking a quick break here for one of our many bits. Mm-hmm. And when we return, we will have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
How professional is that?
Yeah, check that shit out. Why don't you?
So we will be right back.
And now it's time for Spanish lessons with Juan D.
Mi vaca está en la librería. Mi vaca está en la iglesia católica. Mi vaca está en la combinación de librería y iglesia católica.
My cow is at the bookstore. My cow is at the Catholic Church. My cow is at the combination bookstore and Catholic Church. This has been a Spanish lesson with Juan D. Next week, he will teach you another one. Want a shirt with the Sarcastic Voyage logo on it? Of course you do! Who wouldn't? Send us $20 plus $5 shipping and we can make that happen. Go to sarcasticvoyage.com and click on the store button for more details.
All right, so we're back. And we had a question last week pertaining to the specifics of vampires, of very particular vampire things. And when that happens, we call upon our expert.
Mm-hmm.
Not
every show can boast having a vampire expert.
No, in fact, you were quite close to being officially like having your proper degree in this, right? I mean,
yes, I'm getting there. A few more months.
I mean, you finished the coursework. You got a couple of steps left to go, and then we can say, mm-hmm. you know, official vampirologist Irene Pinehoff. What is it, MA? Would that be the
yes MA?
Awesome, MA vampirology.
Yeah, I'd like to see Smodcast find themselves a vampirologist.
Well, who has time when you're advertising for the Fleshlight for 20 minutes? But I digress. So, Irene, first of all, thanks for coming back. We always appreciate your time. I know you're very busy. Mm-hmm.
Anytime. I like being here.
Well, thank you. One of our other guests say first. That.
Well, that's because they're impolite and rude.
That is very much.
And that's why you're our favorite.
Yes.
Apparently, they only teach manners in vampire school.
I guess, I you know,
sad really.
It balances out all the staking and all the burning and all the beheading you have to do.
Yes, it does. And you know, vampires are sticklers for formality.
Yeah, all the vampires I've seen in any reputable entertainment have been represented as total gentlemen or pretty much gentlemen. Actually, I was going to say or ladies, but no, pretty much just gentlemen.
No, gentlemen.
For some reason, why is that? Why are they mostly dudes?
You know, I could probably tell you a really long story about that, but that's not why I'm here. You have specific questions.
That's very true. We do have questions. So, this was...
Oh, and a guest that keeps us on topic. You are the best one ever.
So...
Can you always be here?
I don't think that would work for you, but, you know, if you pay me the right amount, I can make time.
Okay, I think we're done.
I will give you 33%. I will give you a full third of our profits. How about that?
And your profits are zero, I assume.
Yeah, actually, we're
into the negative.
Yeah, we're spending money on the show right now, so you actually need to cough in a few.
Yeah.
All right. So on with the question. This comes from a guy who writes to us regularly. He goes by the name Duh, but don't hold that against him. And he says, watching Batman Brave and the Bold, where Batman turns into a vampire and goes after the Justice League. Oh, and don't worry about the episode. We haven't seen it either. Like, he's setting up the question here. My question is, would alien blood sustain a vampire? Would Martian Manhunter, Spock, or Alf have to worry about bloodsuckers? There's more, like this is a multi-part question, but let's address this first part first.
Well, first I would like to point out that we are dealing solely in the hypothetical here, because I am not certain that aliens exist. And if they did, I'm not sure that we as humans would recognize them as life forms.
That's fair.
So in the hypothetical, I would say that vampires might be able to snack on aliens as sort of a stopgap measure. Sort of like they eat, you know, rats or horses or cows when there's no humans around. But they would have to evolve into a different species of vampire in order to do it on a regular basis.
Well, when we get into the nuts and bolts of it, the actual scientific, like, how a vampire subsists on human blood, it seems to me like the aliens would have different blood and might not be able to, like you're right, like Spock, for instance, has copper-based green blood, which might be a tasty snack, as you say, but probably not what the vampire's after, nutritionally speaking.
Precisely, and depending on the type of blood and the way it's made, it might actually be poisonous for the vampires. So I would, you know, caution any vampires out there listening to this that aliens are probably not a good food source.
That's a shame, because I was really enjoying the mental image of Alf as a vampire.
Oh, yeah, that would rock.
Count Vlad Shumway. That would be fantastic.
Well, as much as it might be amusing, I actually would also argue that vampires would not be able to turn aliens into vampires themselves.
See, that sucks, because vampire aliens have got to be the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, vampires pretty much got it made in space. I mean, you can avoid the sun very easily. Yep. If you camp out on the dark side of the moon or any other place that shields you from direct sunlight, you're pretty much set.
Yep.
Yes, but then you run into the problem of having to cart around your coffin full of dirt, and some overzealous cleaning robot might throw it out an airlock, and then what are you going to do?
That's true. And also, scutters. Also, dirt is very heavy. I mean, soil, you know, in large quantities is quite heavy, and you need to reduce that mass to get good speed. So it would be in their best interest not to carry a lot of it around.
Yeah, but how cool is the concept of, like, an escape pod full of dirt and a vampire floating around in space getting found by another ship? That's a movie I want to see.
And they're probably not likely to cross running water out in space. So you're,
no, not a lot of running water in space.
You're probably set there. What else are we forgetting, Irene? I mean,
there's
other conditions.
No religion in space, because obviously once we're a space-faring, you know, race, we won't need to believe in God anymore.
Can I just say how much I love the sentence, there's no religion in space?
There is no religion in space.
That is so
awesome. You're
my
in space.
Personal beliefs completely back you up. However, I feel the need to... No, you know what? I don't feel the need to do anything. Go on.
No religion
in
space.
Let me cite the Federation. I'm fairly certain that they don't have an official religion.
That's true.
It depends. Like, we've making our way through the original series as we are in our other podcast. Occasionally, they mention that some people believe in this or that, but no, for the most part, I'm pretty sure they represent at least an agnostic.
So there you go. So yeah. Who would you go to get holy water?
If nothing else, even if there
the
is
most religious people in Star Trek, Bajorans.
Yeah, and even then, like, no, because the Earth-based vampires need holy water blessed by Christians, I assume.
Yes. Mm.
And the thing is, even if the religion totally flourishes and is still around when we're in space, having a priest, having someone who's qualified on your ship just doesn't seem practical. So you probably...
No.
The nearest person to get you the holy water that you need is going to be light years away. So, you know, even then, you're not in very good shape.
I mean, arguably, you might be able to say that, you know, other Earth religions would be suitable too, since vampires come from Earth and all cultures have their own version of the vampire myth, but still you run into the same problem. You're not going to have, you know.
Yeah, I mean, every ship's not going to carry, along with, you know, specialists for this and that, they're just not going to carry a priest. There's not enough room.
Precisely.
So that is a problem. Of course, you're...
Where the hell are we going to find room for a chapel on this thing?
I don't know, outside?
Stained glass windows, not that great for keeping oxygen in.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. So yeah, and then also most materials out in space presumably would be synthetic. You're not going to find a lot of wood for stakes.
Yep, no. That would be another problem.
Yeah, so probably not a lot of sharp implements, because you're worried about keeping the air intact, like keeping the hull and your suits intact. So not a lot of easy, accessible things for beheading them.
Yeah, and vampires don't need to breathe, so it's no biggie for them.
They could just float in the coldness of space, I imagine.
Yeah, as long as they avoided the sun.
Yeah. So,
God damn, I want to see this movie.
See, the problem is I think this movie's probably already been made by someone who sucks. You want to see this movie made well.
I do.
All right, let's continue. So if a vamp drained a mutant, would he gain the mutant's powers? Or would his vamp healing protect him from mutating? I don't know if you're very aware of, like, in Marvel Comics, for instance, there's the X-Men who, for some reason, instead of mutating extra fingers or something, they always get superpowers. That's just how mutation works in comics.
Well, I do love the X-Men, and Wolverine was one of my early cartoon crushes, so I have some knowledge of them. And I would argue, once again, we're speaking in hypotheticals, because there are no mutants.
Well, there are mutants. I mean, there are literally people who grow extra body parts, or people who can do things that other people can't. I mean, that's evolution.
There's just no cool mutants.
Mutants are people with some kind of extra evolved trait, but sometimes it's just something useless.
Well, yeah.
Like the woman at the Tim Hortons with the extra thumb.
Yeah, that is a mutation.
Well, see, but there, if you...
It's not a superpower.
You would not absorb that mutation and grow an extra thumb if you're a vampire, so why would you absorb a difference or a mutation and, say, shoot lasers out of your eyes all of a sudden?
Oh, God, that would be cool, too.
No, it wouldn't. You hate Cyclops.
Everybody hates Cyclops.
Yeah.
Everyone hates Cyclops, but everybody loves a vampire with laser beams coming out of his eyes.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Admit it. Admit how cool that is.
That's fairly cool. And, of course, going back to the alien thing, you were talking about if a vampire tried to bite a xenomorph from the movie Alien.
Yeah.
I just, because of the acid blood, I think that's, you know, that's over in an instant.
See, I don't think that works out too well for the vampire, but if you can get a face hugger onto a vampire and have a vampire alien burst out of it, that would fucking rule.
I just...
And if the vampire would live because the alien's not made out of wood, because that would be stupid.
Yeah, now you're just getting ridiculous.
Well, you see, setting aside all my objections based on my earlier arguments, I just don't see how making a vampire xenomorph would be any different than having a regular xenomorph.
Well, you've got a xenomorph with slightly larger fangs.
Yeah, which now has extra weaknesses that it didn't have before.
Yeah, so I think that would be like a step back in its evolution.
Yeah.
Also, I think it should be able to turn into mist.
What, the xenomorph?
Yes, admit how cool that would be. Fucking acid cloud.
Yeah, which would just eat through the hull.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Or like a little bat with like a an alien head.
There's a little mouth sticking it coming out of it. Call me Hollywood.
See, now Irene's just like shaking her head. Like we're making a mockery of everything that she studied, and I do apologize for that. This is all wrong. This is all like junk science. This is like talking creationism to a evolutionary scientist. I do apologize for that.
No apology necessary. I knew what I was getting into.
Well, this is us. The other thing that we've been discussing somewhat at length on today's show and sort of off to the side is the evil of horses.
Yes, nature's most evil creature.
Yes, which I you were saying, I guess animals can't be turned, like it has to be a human.
Precisely.
So the idea of a vampire
that is well documented.
Well, yeah, I mean, I only know bits and pieces of things here and there. This isn't my, I mean, sci-fi is more my area than this stuff, but I know, like in Walking Dead, that the horse didn't turn into a zombie; they just ate it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it also applies to the vampire world.
But I mean,
as well.
there's plenty of instances where vampires have eaten like just animals and nothing's happened. You don't get like a vampire rat.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I'm trying to combine things. I'm trying to say we think horses are evil, and a vampire horse would be way more evil.
Would be pure evil.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the whole evilness of horses thing?
I will admit that horses are scary because they are big, but I don't believe they're inherently evil.
Oh, they hate us.
Well,
see,
because we ride
them. I'm a
new
convert to this way of thinking, and it seems like there's a dissenting opinion here now. So.
I would make the argument that horses are not the only creatures that hate us.
Oh, well, that's certainly true. Well, I just think horses hate us the most.
As a race, we're certainly not inherently likable, but... But
personally, I would argue that dolphins would be a better sort of venue for your fear, as they are more intelligent than horses. And if you're going to be invaded by an animal species, the dolphin seems like it might pose a bigger threat.
Well, they're waiting in the wings. They're waiting for us to just make one little slip up and then they take over. I mean, we've always heard that they're, you know, they're next. So it makes...
And I believe that there's a prophecy in the Bible that says that vampire dolphins will someday bring about the apocalypse.
The vampire dolphins would be the worst because dolphins are so, like, lovable and playful.
Yeah, they lure you into a false sense of security and then just...
Yeah, and we've covered this on the show before. Those things can tear you up, like, on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So give them a pair of fangs and a bloodlust and that, you know. Well, okay, what you got is a shark. We've just created the shark. Good work, team.
Of course, if you fit a bottlenose dolphin with a wooden helmet, you've got the perfect thing for defeating vampires. So
or vampire sharks. Just launch them at them. You're all set. All right. Is there anything else we needed to cover here? I feel like we've answered the question effectively enough. Irene, any other things you feel like we need to address or correct?
No, I think we've pretty much got it covered.
Anything you want to plug?
Oh, absolutely.
As usual, you can read my wonderful book reviews on our blog, Girl on Book Action, at blogspot.com.
It is an excellent review site.
Yes, and there is no conflict of interest whatsoever that my own child bride also contributes to this blog.
Or indeed that both of us have contributed to
it. Yes, or a few of our friends here and there. Although, in fairness, they did make us put on dresses when we did that.
Pretty dresses.
Yes, yeah. It was a lovely, lovely view.
Yeah. I mean, my leg hair still hasn't grown back yet. It was a good experience.
Well, there you go.
All right, Irene. Well, as always, a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All right.
See ya.
We will be right back.
Sarcastic Voyage encourages its listeners to submit the most ridiculously incoherent internet comments they can find for an occasional feature we like to call Never Scroll Down. Ed Casey shares this constructive feedback from a fan of his company's software. Ubisoft games are doing very high system fuck the system from private games cannot play the game no longer do the low.
And we're back.
We hope you had a nice break.
Yeah. No, you should have continued listening because we played some hilarious bit for you there.
Yeah. Look, if you need to go to the bathroom or get a soda or something, you can just go.
Yeah, these things have pause buttons, or you can take the iPod with you, or whatever
device
you're using.
There's no reason you have to stop listening just because you're in the bathroom. I do it all the time.
Look, we don't want you to call us from the bathroom.
No.
But if you listen to the show in the bathroom, that's fine. We're okay
yes.
with that.
Yeah.
Now it is time to answer the mail. So let's open our mail.
Let's do that.
This one comes from John Wiggins, and it says, I'm going to guess this one's for Matt.
Okay.
If Batman... Oh, of course. It's a Batman question, so only Matt cares about Batman.
Yeah, Al doesn't like Batman.
No, I hate all comics, especially Batman. Who likes Batman?
But especially Bart.
If every Batman were to fight each other, who would win? By every, I mean movie Batman, comic Batman, animated Batman.
Comic Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
Specifically which comic Batman? Like current...
I would say current Batman.
Really?
Current Batman has sort of evolved to the point where he's like the Batman. Okay. Like, Golden Age Batman was not a Batman who was always prepared for any eventuality.
However, Golden Age Batman did have a gun.
Golden Age Batman only had a gun for about 5 minutes.
That doesn't matter. He had a gun. He owned one. He only used it for 5 minutes, but he did own one.
Yeah, I don't buy the gun argument. Plus, Batman deals with guns every day.
This is a good point.
Okay. Batman, the last thing Batman is afraid of is Batman with a gun. Batman can disarm Batman fairly easily.
All right. Well, I think you're wrong, and I think that's because animated Batman is superior above all Batman.
Oh yeah, animated Batman is a pretty good Batman.
Only voiced by Kevin Conroy, though. None of this other bullshit with like having him voiced by, you know, Screech from Saved by the Bell or Arnold Horshack from Welcome Back, Cotter, or any of the other miscast Batman they decided to use.
Yeah.
Ask for him by name, Kevin Conroy Batman, TM.
Yeah, no, I still gotta go with regular Batman. He defeated a god of evil, which is pretty fucking impressive.
Kevin Conroy Batman did defeat Darkseid, and he helped defeat a few alien invasions, of course defeated Superman before. That's happened.
All Batmans have defeated Superman. That's not even an issue anymore.
I think, and I could be wrong, correct me, because you know the comics better than I, but I think that was Frank Miller first hit on that in Dark Knight.
Yes.
When he realized that those guys are completely opposite, and Batman might someday need to kick Superman's ass.
Oh.
And that's been a, sort of a mainstay ever since.
Now I gotta go read that again. Oh.
Well, it was pretty great.
So good.
But I still say, and for my money, the best Batman story I've ever seen is the Superman-Batman crossover on the animated series.
The three-parter?
Yeah, the World's Finest, they call it.
Fuck yeah, that is good.
And they first meet, and to that point, in every cartoon you'd ever seen, you just assumed, oh, they're going to be BFF.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate each other for three quarters of the I want to say episode, but it was three episodes, which were packaged as a movie. So
yeah.
But no, they hated each other. They couldn't stand each other. And Bruce comes to town and steals Lois,
mm-hmm.
and he outwits Superman in all the crime fighting. I mean, he's just better than him in every way.
All of the crime fightings.
Yep. He comes closer to beating Lex than Superman ever has to that point. It's so great.
Mm. So the real question might be animated Batman versus real Batman. That
real Batman? Like actual real life Batman?
Like comic Batman.
Okay. I was going to say, because you're talking the actual Batman that exists in Gotham City?
In the real world, yes.
Okay. Or are you talking about Christian Bale, who really doesn't have a dog?
Please don't take this from me.
I mean, listen, Christian Bale makes a good Batman, and those movies are great, but that guy's just mostly fighting mobsters. He's not in this.
No.
Those are fantastic movies, but the guys he's fighting are realistic guys with guns. They don't have magic. They don't have alien powers. They're just guys.
Yeah, see, the more realistic Batman gets, the less awesome he is.
But those movies are great. I mean,
those are the
best Batman movies, live-action-wise, we've ever seen.
But, I mean, like, I don't believe that Christian Bale Batman could defeat, just off the top of my head, Darkseid.
Right. Definitely not. Although this is, you know, this is the whole story of how he started. Like, it
probably
started with
because
Batman
Darkseid in the Nolan universe would be like a mobster.
Right.
With no powers.
Tony Darkseid.
Yeah.
From the
East Side Dark Sides?
Right. So, yeah, I think we're going to have to end this one in a stalemate. I think animated Batman beats everyone. Matt thinks current comics
Batman
beats everyone. And I think short of taking this to the Thunderdome,
yeah,
I think we're just going to have to leave it at that.
And as we all know, this show has long gotten beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I wasn't even setting you up for that. Jesus, I forgot all about that terrible joke.
That's my favorite terrible joke.
It is. It totally is. And we stole it from the MST3K writing room.
So yes.
We're going to steal from the back.
Yeah, exactly. Good stock in that joke.
I will give Wiggins some credit here. Well, I mean, I'll take away credit for assuming that I don't care about Batman, because what the fuck is wrong with you?
You don't care about Batman.
But I'll give him credit, because we're always saying we hate this guy versus this guy questions. And the winner is always Batman. So he turned that around on us.
Yeah, that's a good question.
By saying Batman versus Batman. So good job. Mm. Movie Batman against each other.
Ooh.
I think Bale definitely
comes out
on top. Oh,
yeah, Bale takes the win on that one.
I think.
Unless, of course, Adam West comes out from behind with the anti-Christian Bale bat spray.
Which he just happened to pack before he left that morning. The problem is Clooney would have made a good Batman, but...
Clooney would have been a great Batman if he had been in a better movie.
Yeah. Not really his fault.
Nope.
Unfortunately, he gets beaten by everyone.
Yeah, he takes the blame for that one, and he really doesn't deserve it.
No. All right, next one comes from Mike X, and he says, "Hey, Al, Matt, impossible guest. I was thinking the other night, as I was cleaning our cat's litter box." These are always good questions. "I was scooping crap and thinking of you guys."
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah. "Is it possible that humanity's pets are really running the world and we're all just blindly marching to their tune? We take care of what goes into and what comes out of them, but could they be manipulating us in a broader sense? Are major world events caused by the whims of animals that very probably hate us? Do I just need to get more sleep? Conspiratorially, yours, Mike."
I would totally buy that cats are controlling our actions. I saw that episode of Futurama.
Yeah, see, this goes back to the horse thing.
Mm-hmm.
Horses make us think that we have them subdued, that we've domesticated them, but maybe not.
I think if you really think about it, all animals hate us except dogs.
Well, then we're straying into this territory of Hodgman recommended, which was all animals versus all humans.
Ooh. Yeah, we would not win that one.
No, even with the dogs on our side. Because as you say, The dogs are definitely on our side.
Yeah, look, if not, I don't know much, but I know this. Dogs love us.
Yes. You know, let's
my new puppy.
Let's cut through the crap and say the reason we get dogs is because unconditional love. That's why. Because you come home and your dog is always happy to see you.
Yes.
This is not a new observation, but it's still totally true. That's why we all have dogs. And listen, I like a cat. I'm not a dog person versus a cat person. I had a cat. I enjoy cats.
I've enjoyed a cat once and again.
I have. I had a dog and a cat, which was my original plan. And I lost the cat in the divorce. The wife got custody of the cat. I got custody of the dog.
In the great cat war.
Yeah. Oh, that was rough. It was the custody battle.
No, you're thinking of the dog war. He said, making the worst pun ever.
Oh. So yes, I think the animals are. I'd like to think there's some terrible animal manipulating Matt into making puns. Oh, and he says, "P.S. Nobody saw Smlown's body, right? I'm just saying. Well, did you not see the cover art?
Dude, everyone saw Smlown's body.
I gotta say, this is not something I like to openly say, and I'm gonna be very brief here, because I don't want to be, oh, nobody likes our show, boo-hoo-hoo. I know a lot of people listen to our show. I see the numbers. I'm totally fine with that. I think that cover art, which I had nothing to do with, deserves way more credit than it got, way more recognition than it got. I think English Gav put aside his grief, put aside his horrible feelings of loss, and took what is, without a doubt, one of the definitive images of our time.
Yes.
And that only a handful of people recognize the power of this image really just kind of hurts my feelings.
Look, like, 10 years from now, everyone's going to know where they were when Splown died.
Yes, exactly. I was here doing the show.
Yeah, me too.
You were dancing for some reason. I don't know what that was all about.
Yeah.
Speaking of Splown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is about, but there appears to be in our inbox here something from his account. That's a bad joke, Irish Gav. I guess Irish Gav is using his Twitter account occasionally. He's like, well, I didn't want to let it go to waste.
That's not cool.
But this is in very poor taste if you're using his email account. That's just Irish Gav. You have nothing to do with Sloan. You need to stay away from
it. It might not be his fault. Sloan might have logged into his computer before he died.
Okay.
He was always doing that.
I've heard that. In any case, we have this, which claims to be from Smlown, but I don't know what this is all about.
All right.
Let's have a listen.
Well, Lucifer, that's an interesting point you make. But I think that free will, by definition, is an extension of... Wait, a microphone? It's about bloody time. I haven't had an audience for my musings for a while. Yes, yes, that will be all, Lucifer. So anyway... Here I am, now in hell. Not really where I wanted to end up, but I've had my interesting debates with Satan. Great guy, that, but a bit pretentious for my liking. I mean, all his torture instruments are so elaborate. Give me whatever's around. A rusty old wheelbarrow, lost works of Shakespeare, what have you. And then there's the minions of hell. There aren't much to speak of, but they could be useful to my plans. Nefarious as they are. I like nefarious plans, they keep me warm at night. Speaking of which, I wish they'd turn down the bloody heating here. It's not good for a clown made entirely of wool. Oh, like the show last week. Touching. So touching. Though I've no idea who Larry Splown is. Oh, and tell Porkers I feel fine. P.S. Hello, Mallory. Malvern Splown.
Well, that is a shocking new development.
Yeah. Look, we rarely get any correspondence with hell, so...
Here's the thing. We've heard from dead celebrities from time to time.
I guess that's
but
true.
But I think that's accomplished through, not from the afterlife, but through some weird resurrection technology or something that doesn't have to do with the actual metaphysical afterlife. I think this is a whole new thing.
I always assumed they were talking through the razor blade from the Dead Talk Back episode of Mystery Science Theater.
That very well could be, or there's just, there's some kind of machine... Or some kind of, it's their ghost, but I don't think we've ever been directly in contact with hell before.
That's a new one.
Yeah. And I know it is hell. I know that's not a fake because there's a website. And I'll provide a link also. You don't need to memorize this or anything. JesusIsSavior.com. There's hyphens in there. Jesus-is-savior.com.
Okay.
And it actually tells you, this is a Christian website. It's totally true. It's meant to be taken seriously. That tells you what hell sounds like. Actually, It actually tells you all about hell, including what it sounds like. And this lines up with what I've heard there. Like, that is consistent. So it's not like he's making this up or anything.
It's going to sound like an Irish clown. Yeah, I buy that.
No. The background noise.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, I can verify with my own ears that he appears to be in hell.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like hell.
So, again, we'll provide the link for you to verify for yourself. But I guess the story of Mr. Sloan is not quite over yet.
God damn it.
Our final bit of business here comes from Scott Zioko. Before we get to this is our Choose Your Own Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to this, I did want to announce that Scott is the official winner of our ill-conceived Have Your Celebrity Friends Call Our Show contest, which we are the only fans of. But Scott went way above and beyond crafting this elaborate story with all the celebrity jerks that he knows.
Yes.
And he totally deserves some kind of prize, which I will send you. So some kind of prize is coming your way, Scott. Actually, and one more thing before we get to the Choose Your Own Adventure. Speaking of tokens related to the show, Tidro, who we went on and on about last week, has now created a variety of stickers, not just the Get Glue style ones, but transparent window clings that can go in your car window,
mm-hmm.
Larger stickers, and refrigerator magnets.
Yeah.
Which we will now offer in the store. By the time you hear this, sarcasticvoyage.com, click on the store button, and you can buy stickers. Here's the thing about that. We are raising money to get a table at Emerald City Comic Con. Don't make us beg, but really, we need money.
Yeah.
We need to get this table. I'd rather not pay out of our own pocket. I'd really like to break even on this show. I don't care about making a profit,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like at least to sell enough stuff so that we can get the table and make more people aware of the show. So help us out. Buy some stickers. Help us get a table.
We'll love you forever.
Or at least until the check clears. All right. So on to the last bit of business, which is our Choose Your Own Adventure. We always do mine because I go alphabetical first, but let's do Matt's first this time.
Okay.
Matt, while Jim Shooter is busy gorging himself on the elderly woman, you begin to frantically search the garage sale for something that you can use to defend yourself. Unfortunately, the garage sale belongs to the elderly woman currently being consumed by Jim Shooter, so your options are actually rather slim. Do you A. take all the creepy porcelain dolls and try to create some sort of horrific Voltron doll out of them? B. take one of the handmade quilts and create cloth nunchucks? Or C. use the toaster.
All right, Matt, you are faced with a dilemma. What do you choose?
Oh, man, I am going to build the Voltron out of the porcelain dolls because we all know there is nothing in the world scarier than an old woman's collection of porcelain dolls. Except for a porcelain doll made out of many other porcelain dolls.
Well, I think any smaller things that combine into one larger thing are pretty horrifying. I mean, that was the conceit behind the human centipede, although they kind of wasted that, but, you know. If maybe instead of mouth to anus, they'd gone like mouth to, I don't know, something, like built a person out of it instead of just a long, you know, snaky thing.
Yeah.
And made you know, like mouth to shoulder and then mouth to leg. And then you're kind of walking around as with people for your legs.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been much better. Incidentally, timely parody artists South Park have now gotten around to doing human centipede jokes only a year after we have. So
take that, South Park.
Yeah. No, take that human centipede.
Oh, yeah, please take that human centipede. God, I hate you.
Take it, please. All right, on to mine.
Algar. Drawing a dagger from your belt, you drive the edge into your palm and draw blood, then raise your fist into the air. From here on, epiphanies will forever be my sworn enemies. Wherever I encounter them, I will smite them. Wherever I hear of them, I will smite them. Wherever they dare go, I will smite them. Satisfied with your blood oath against an abstract concept, you're now once again faced with the need to somehow get out of this corridor. Do you A. go left, B. go right, C. three hops this time, slide to the left, slide to the right, reverse, reverse.
All right, you know what? I have had an end game in mind all along. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to reprogram the simulation. I'm going to chop through that Gordian knot, whatever the other metaphors that apply to this are. I'm going to do it. I'm going to choose none of these, and I'm going to flip ahead to page 167. Scott, I should note 167 has no particular significance. I have chosen this page entirely at random in hopes of getting a better scenario than the one I've trapped myself in. So I'm completely breaking free of this various tree of decision and jumping to page 167. That is my choice. And now let's move to Dave's.
Dave, you are hit with a wave of euphoria as the door burns down before you and you behold the two little troublemakers. The elves don't resemble anything you're used to seeing in common fantasy lore. They're about 5'3" tall with sandy blonde hair and fashion sense straight out of a late 90s Telemundo music video. They back up in total fright at seeing you emerge in the flaming doorway. Do you A. take out your revenge on the two dicks? B. let bygones be bygones and let them go? Or C. realize your hands are still on fire?
And now let's hear Dave's response.
My hands still ablaze, I approach the two dicks, and with a mock-friendly, "Ah, you little scamps," I ruffle their hair with my flaming hands, igniting the copious amounts of product they put in their hair. I laugh, ha, as I watch them run around the room with their heads aflame.
I think Dave might be describing my origin story. But we'll just have to see how that all unfolds next time. That is all from us. Matt, is there any further business that you are aware of?
There is no further business.
We will now be taking our final break, leading you into Nick and Willikins, which reminds me, if you weren't aware, Nick and Willikins recorded a delightful accompaniment to the royal wedding, which you are now very sick of hearing about, I'm sure.
It was lovely.
Quite, sir. So if for some reason that didn't show up in your iTunes feed, or if you weren't aware of it, it is out there on Algar.com, SarcasticVoyage.com. iTunes, and so forth.
You can have it.
It is free for you. We like doing that. We like doing little extra things.
Yeah, because we love you.
We do. I call you dicks from time to time, but I also love you. It's a very complicated relationship.
Yeah. Why you gotta make us hit you, audience?
Speaking of complicated,
yes.
That reminds me, we're not done yet.
Okay.
I do apologize for this. There is a voicemail.
Oh, all right.
Which actually involves the word complicated. I'm glad I made that dumb joke. Because here we go.
Seven rings, really? I mean, didn't we go through this already? It's Adrian. I was listening to this last week's show, where Algar remembered something from the week before, which was really strange. They dared comment on that. That was really odd. But my main question is, Al said a phrase, which was, you are a complicated man, Matt Robotham. Or maybe you were, I don't know if there's a contraction, let's say you are a complicated man, Matt Robotham. How soon do we go about turning this into a animated Peanuts style-esque sort of show? Because I think that could work really well. And if such thing happens, would Checkers be the Snoopy character, or would we have to, or would the new puppy be the Snoopy character? These are kind of important. So get back to me on that. And thanks. Goodbye.
We were actually going to do a Charlie Brown style animated special, but Al pulled it away from me at the last second.
You blockhead. I also think, as much as Checkers is mostly Beagle, she would not actually be Snoopy. Her allergies have kicked in again. She's looking pretty scruffy right now. I think she would probably be his homeless cousin Spike, where Matt's new puppy actually would be Snoopy. Snoopy would be a much better name than the name you went with, incidentally.
Once again, I didn't choose it.
I know. You didn't get to choose this adventure.
No.
All right.
That I have actually seen her dance on her doghouse, though, so.
That is pretty great. Mm-hmm. That is always fun, and pretending to be a World War I fighting ace.
That is the most fun.
Right. She learned it from you.
She did.
All right.
Damn you, Red Baron.
Is actually all we have this time. There's for real, no other. Now. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Columbo wanted to know. That's really it. So, thanks for listening, and we're going to stop talking now.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikins.
Last time. Wait, which one is Toby?
that'd be the continually disappointing fruit of my considerable loom. Tobias, Nigel, Colin, Basil, Worthington, Wilmington, Doctor Who, Willikins III, Jr.
You know, one of the perks of being a narrator is being detached from the action. You silly little English people really need to keep out of here while I'm talking.
It's this fourth wall, lad. Seems to have come down. Shoddy construction. Dutch, I'll wager.
Is that all it's going to take? Fine.
Willikins, what's all that racket? If there's any construction to be done in Ickle, it'll be done by me. It's always been my dream to be a build bloke.
Yes, a build bloke. Well stated as always, sir.
Toby, why on earth do you call this consanguineous dunderhead sir? He's no officer, and I'd wager no gentleman.
I am too an officer. I was in the safety brigade at Hogwarts.
Hogwarts, hey? Wizarding chap, are you?
That's right, I was in Gryffindor.
So we both know you're a Hufflepuff through and through.
Oh, dear boy, you're not going to take that kind of abuse from the likes of my Toby, are you? Don't let any man call you a Hufflepuff. Had one of those in my company at the RAF. Straightened his lot out with a bar of soap we did.
What, you cleaned him?
The manner of speaking, yes.
Willikins, war sounds delightful. I should like to go to war.
War's a fine way for a young lad to travel the world, kill Johnny Foreigner, dip his wick in.
Well, what?
Father, young Nick is not as such acquainted with the ways of the wick.
Had one of those in the RAF as well. You a vicar, boy.
I beg your pardon?
Religion, son. Are you a man of God?
No.
Sir, if someone asks you if you are a man of God, you say yes.
Hang on. Are you talking about that God bloke from that book, What We Found in the Hotel?
The Holy Bible, sir, yes.
Right, that one. I thought it was a Where's Wally book. It said, Find Jesus Now.
I do remember that, sir.
I don't like the idea of anyone bigger than me who's also invisible. These are my lifelong dreams.
Really, sir? Those are this week's lifelong dreams.
Toby, I demand you allow this boy to find his destiny. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent deity is a fine career for a nobleman. Next logical step, really.
That's what I've been saying.
Well, isn't this an unholy alliance?
Not for long.
Where were our heroes headed next? What other long-lost relatives will we contrive into existence for the sake of a few cheap jokes? And will this fourth wall actually keep those people out of my booth?
I doubt it.
Damn it! Find out next time on The Adventures of Nick and Willikins. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.